For WAMC News, I'm Jim Lavoulis. The world was captivated last week as flames engulfed the spire of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. With construction starting in the 12th century, the church has been an iconic symbol for Catholicism, art, and architecture. French leaders have pledged to rebuild the cathedral, but today is surely a somber Easter for Catholics around the world. In our region, Father Gary Gelfenbein was the pastor at St. James Church in Chatham, New York, for about 2 decades, and studied in Paris, where he visited Notre Dame numerous times. I spoke with him about the church's symbolism for the Catholic faith.
Well, any cathedral church is the main church. A bishop is considered like the apostle for Jesus. And any priests or others who help are considered like disciples or assistants to the bishop's task as the master shepherd of a particular area. But Notre Dame happens to be one of the greatest seats in the world, a great archdiocese, and that developed over its history. So the cathedral church, and the actual word cathedra or cathedra in Latin, was the seat for the bishop himself, and that's where his place would be, and his main service would be done there and through that area. But the church represented, or the building itself, housed that seat, very much like the coronation seat at Westminster Abbey for the coronation of the queen or the king. Well, here was this special seat for the bishop in a particular church. Well, Notre Dame, of course, is one of the most spectacular settings one could ever hope for, right in the center of Paris on the Île de la Cité, on the Seine River. And all, of course, all life over the years was on the Seine River. And the cathedral just sits like the queen on the very bank of that river itself. And, of course, the style became Gothic when they began to build it in, 1163. And it went on until the 1200s. And still had completion years after that. So a good 50, 60 years of the building process. But in the Gothic style, which was so lofty and so impressive, and in fact, it continued because in the 1800s, Viollet-le-Duc, who was a man of great restoration of buildings in France, saw that Notre Dame was falling apart, and he put the characteristic flying buttresses that you see. The original buttresses were quite modest, but then he put the flyers in that we all look at with a tremendous sense of romance, and that idea that a flying buttress or a buttress allows the walls to be very thin, so the dominant feature would be the stained glass. So light was the concentration of that particular age of building in the Gothic period. And Notre Dame, I think if anyone would say, what are the Gothic features or the stained glass features, it's their spectacular rose windows. And the one in the north transept is the oldest 13th century glass, the hub of which is the Virgin and Child, like the Madonna and Child, and then surrounded with the prophets of Israel as well as the apostles. And so it's the whole Judeo-Christian history that's in that particular window, but dominated by geometry. And that's the great feature and love of the period, of the medieval period, because they believe that God was the great geometer, that he did the universe in perfect geometry. And so they have this balanced look, that you have these intersecting circles and squares and diamond forms and over again. So all of these shapes are represented in the rose window, which are certainly more obvious in the exterior, where you see the tracery. When you go inside, you're overwhelmed with the glass itself and the colors and light. So it's quite the feature. And Notre Dame has three roses, the two transepts, the arms of the cathedral itself. As you know, the cathedral is in a cruciform shape, and the two wings that are on each side are the transepts. And the other great rose is over the great organ on the west end, over the main doors of the cathedral. So Notre Dame has had its tremendous history of celebrations, as well as I think most newscasts have been talking about it. It's a parish church. It's got a regular community that goes there for all the different celebrations and for Mass. And, of course, this particular week would have been one of the greatest weeks of celebrations. But also with the cathedral, I have to tell you that not only the stained glass and the organ, and one of the great features of Notre Dame are its bells. And they just worked on the bells on the North Tower, which is a clamorous, cacophony of sound that echoes all over the area there. And then the great bell, the 13-ton Jacqueline, which is in the South Tower, and people rave about going into, they can actually go into the bell itself or underneath the bell. So it's got all these features to it that makes it almost like a multimedia show. And certainly it's a liturgical space, a holy space, a church, but it also is this room that has had everything in it. I remember attending many things in the cathedral itself, and you find out that the room speaks as well as everything that happens within it. And the great ages of music are represented in the cathedral as well, from Gregorian chant to these, great polyphonic pieces of music. So you get the use of the organ that would be up in the west gallery, 65 feet above the floor, and then you'd go the length of the cathedral, hundreds of feet, till you got to the main altar area, and there's a small organ there, and that's where the choir would actually sit. And then they echo each other back and forth, and I think that's one of the more impressive parts of the history of music in the cathedral.
There has been a lot of talk about the artwork inside the cathedral. Can you detail a little bit of some of what has been housed in the church?
Well, because it's gone over so many centuries, and having gone through the French Revolution, where glass was literally broken out of the building, and that's why I suspect the features of the rose windows are the most spectacular of the stained glass. But there, the Pietà on the back is such a different period of time. You get a piece that looks Renaissance Baroque that's at the very end of the high altar, what they call the apse of the cathedral, the very end of it, when you're looking at the altar itself. And you get the carvings of the pews themselves, the choir pews that are in the choir area of that part of the cathedral, which originally would have been closed off with a wall, because the monks would have wanted privacy while pilgrims were coming into the building with their whole lives. I mean, literally their children and their animals and things like that. And they would come there as a space. So I would think if you thought religiously or ecclesiastically speaking, the crown of thorns, well, it's a part of what they think was the original crown of thorns that was placed on Jesus' head. People have talked about, is there a nail from the actual crucifixion, and is there a piece of the wood of the cross? Well, that is all part of the relics of the cathedral. The art itself is a variety of things. There's a ring of a wall having the whole life of Christ, that it's all carved, and that surrounds the altar area and those wooden choir stalls that I was mentioning. Each piece represents a part of the history of the cathedral. When people talk about the icons, well, of course, when we talk about icons, they're movable pieces that are painted on wood and things like that, and probably richer in other buildings than Notre Dame in Paris, but the history behind the ones at Notre Dame, they would be smaller pieces, where the force of the cathedral itself, its artistic presence, is really in the stained glass that's left and the sculpture that's in the exterior of the cathedral. And as you probably know, they had removed copper figures of the apostles from the top spire that collapsed during the fire itself. And they had moved those for cleaning and for preservation while they were working on the cathedral. The front part of the cathedral, and still in existence, are the three portals that lead into the cathedral itself, with scenes of the coronation of Mary as the Queen of Heaven, the center portal with Christ as seen with angels holding the implements of crucifixion, and then a scene which was very typical for the Middle Ages a scene of the judgment. So you find the angel, Michael the Archangel in this particular case, holding the scales of justice, where your soul would be balanced against the truth and the goodness of your life. And then you have on one side of the portal people going off to the bosom of Abraham and to be in heaven, and the other side, not so fortunate, be going off to grim scenes with little demon kinds of things, tying people up and holding them in chains and things, and kind of an even Steven sort of thing, too, because you have bishops, kings, knights, everyone that would have been in the upper echelon in the medieval society, they're also in judgment and sometimes going off to the fires of hell. So it's quite a scene to go to the cathedral and enter through these portals into the cathedral itself.
Being a pastor and having spent time living in Paris, what was your and what has been your reaction to learning about this damaging fire?
I have to tell you, literally tears. And, you know, with friends who knew that I studied there and loved the building so much. I mean, how do you have a love affair with a building? But you do. I mean, you absolutely do. It's like people who love a particular painting or it's going to the Green Wall in Boston where the Red Sox play. I mean, they love these spaces. Well, that's what's just so disheartening. And the moment I was literally texting someone, and in the middle of the text, it appeared and it said, Notre Dame of Paris is on fire. And remember, the whole ceiling, the whole roof, I should say, is le forêt. It's the forest. I mean, they literally took the best part of a forest to build the timbers that hold up the roof of Notre Dame, and that's 800 plus years old, and that wood is literally tinder. I mean, just ready to go. And they never changed it. You kept saying to yourself, oh my God, this is going to be a terrible disaster. And as it proved, the fire just raged through that whole roof area, you know. Other cathedrals like Nantes burned down in 1971 and had terrible with the lead roof. So the metals actually become a fuel for the flames themselves, as well as the wood that was omnipresent. So it was a heartbreaking moment. And you were all holding, I think all of us who love Notre Dame of Paris, and there are millions of us, you just prayed for that hour and a half that they were going to be able to at least save the shell and the stone of the building. And it was like watching the tower. And then the North Tower had flames, and they were really dousing it with the water cannons, because the bells, the four bells of that particular tower, are held by a huge set of wooden beams. And if that ever collapsed, the tower would have gone. And if the large 13-ton bell would have done a job on the other. So it was fear and hope and prayer. And I think one of the most touching things for any of us, I think you don't even have to be religious, was watching the people of Paris singing and praying as they watched all this happening. You know? And I think all of us in our own houses and at our stoves or wherever we were, that with our televisions on, we're praying about it.